We do like to eat. That's pretty clear. Shopping? That's another story. Excuse me. You probably observe some shorthand in your shopping routine. You look for key packages or colors or labels, like the organic label. In theory, food bearing that label should be at least a little more wholesome than the food without an organic label. Today's guest got some rancid food with an organic label, took it back to the store, and, well, fast forward a while, and now we're reading Peter Lawfer's book, Organic, A Journalist's Quest to Discover the Truth Behind Food Labeling. Peter Lawfer is the James Wallace Chair in Journalism at the University of Oregon. He's a veteran of NBC News, CBS News, and the host of his own weekly radio show airing in Eugene. He's a frequent guest of the Jefferson Exchange because he keeps writing books on interesting subjects. Peter Lawfer, always good to have you back on the Exchange.
And Jeffrey, so nice to be with you and your audience this morning.
In this age of uproar over GMO foods, why turn the focus to organic labeling?
Well, it's a question of labeling, and certainly the proposition that's on the ballot and the question of whether we should know what we eat vis-a-vis GMO extends to everything. And with the extraordinary growth in organics or so-called organics, I figured, especially after my personal experiences that you just referred to, it was worth taking a good hard look at what that means. Just in the last 20 years, Jeffrey, the organic sector, the amount of money we all spend on stuff that's labeled organic, has grown in America from $1 billion to $28 billion. It's all over Costco and Walmart, places there where we didn't see it back when the Ashland Co-op was in its little storefront. And that means, I think, that as journalists and as consumers, we need to check on what that organic word means.
So there's the segment of the market that expects it, and of course that segment of the market has been growing by leaps and bounds. What was that time period for the $1 billion to $28 billion expansion?
$1 billion to $28 billion in the last 20 years, and it's still only, Jeffrey, about 4 or 5% of our overall American grocery dollar. So you can see the opportunity for growth that still exists.
Absolutely. And you point out in the second page of your preface, this is not meant to be a trashing or a condemnation of the organic labeling process.
Yeah, on the contrary. My wife doubles our grocery bill, it seems, and I'm not complaining and I don't argue with her. I agree. Please don't spray poison on my food. And what my concern is if it says that it's organic, what does that mean?
And this all starts with walnuts. What happened with the walnuts?
Yeah, this was up in Eugene, and I went to the Trader Joe's over on Coburg Road. Plenty of your listeners know that store, I'm sure, and it's a fine store. This is also not a trashing of the store. The walnuts I bought were labeled organic, and they turned out to be rancid, and of course this sort of thing happens, food spoiled. And I took it back, and of course Trader Joe's was happy to give me my money back. And as I was getting my money back, this collegiate-looking manager, he probably was one of our students at the University of Oregon, and I were looking at the bag together, and it says, well, walnuts, and clearly they were walnuts, and it said organic, and we figured, okay. And then we saw in the smaller print, product of Kazakhstan. And both of us, what did we do? We smirked or we let out a cynical laugh because of all the countries in the world, Kazakhstan is right at the top across the government and business sectors in terms of corruption. And the idea of walnuts coming to Oregon from halfway around the world and us supposed to believe that they're organic? Who's checking that? What orchard did it come from?
And for that matter, walnuts grow in our part of the world. You did get an explanation of why they had to import from Kazakhstan. What was it?
Well, yeah, there. I don't know about Oregon orchards, but certainly Northern California is filled with walnuts, commercial walnuts. And once I started to check into this, Trader Joe's said that they do everything they can to source their organic walnuts from California. But when the supply runs out, then they look elsewhere. And they told me that includes the organic orchards of Kazakhstan.
Which, of course, is a problematic phrase. So you apparently made an offer with Trader Joe's corporate office to go to Kazakhstan. And how was that received?
That was received with a metaphorical slamming of the door. Trader Joe's is a great experience for any of your listeners who've been there. And I imagine you've been there too, Jeffrey. You walk in and the rock and roll is blasting and there's all this great looking and from my tastes, mostly great tasting stuff there. It's experiential consumerism. But as soon as you start asking questions that Trader Joe's doesn't want to answer, they just shut down. And I went everywhere, including their corporate headquarters, which are located in an unmarked building in Monrovia, California, and they want to talk not at all, and I think I learned why.
All right, well, let's pick that up on the other side of a break. We're talking to Peter Lawfer about his book, Organic, A Journalist's Quest to Discover the Truth Behind Food Labeling. Peter Lawfer, our guest on The Exchange he's from Eugene, but he's not in Eugene at the moment. We'll explain that later. But you can join us on The Exchange. We'll come back and talk more with Peter and take your phone calls and emails if you'd like to join us back on the Jefferson Exchange in a minute 10. Back on the Jefferson Exchange on Jefferson Public Radio's News and Information Service. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thanks for listening. Our guest today is Peter Lawfer, longtime journalist, journalism professor at the University of Oregon, and quite a productive author. His latest book is about looking for what goes on behind those organic labels. What does it actually mean when you find organic labels on your food? Peter Lawfer's book is called Organic, A Journalist's Quest to Discover the Truth Behind Food Labeling. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760 around the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, our email address, jx@jeffnet.org. So just to sum up again, the walnuts from Trader Joe's tasted kind of bad, took them back to the store. Organic walnuts, product of Kazakhstan, a few chuckles here and there. You contacted Trader Joe's corporate. You and I sometimes think with very much the same brain, and I noticed the wording, too. We can't participate in your effort. Can't participate. What was that about?
Yeah, that was the final goodbye from the corporate world. We can't participate in your effort. And that is Trader Joe's policy. They do not talk to reporters. They do not talk to researchers. I invited them to invite me to go with their buyer to Kazakhstan to find these walnuts. And what ultimately I did, Jeffrey, was beseech the USDA, the United States Department of Agriculture, National Organic Program, which is in charge of refereeing that label that says USDA Organic, and in fact prevents anybody from selling more than $5,000 worth of food called organic from selling it legally in this country if it doesn't have that label and doesn't meet their requirements. I contacted the USDA and filed an official request that they investigate these walnuts. And after several months, the word came back from the USDA that, in fact, these were not organic walnuts from Kazakhstan, despite the label. Now, let me just refresh everyone's memory about that dollar figure. $28 billion worth of our money being spent on organics in this country every year, and the USDA National Organic Program has about one employee for every $1 billion. That's not one inspector for every $1 billion. That's not one investigator for every $1 billion. That is one employee. They only investigate about 200 products a year that there are complaints about. Initially, they did not want to take on my request, and after I jumped up and down as journalist and professor, they agreed to take it on and found that, in fact, the label was not correct.
In fact, at the writing of the book, wasn't it 27 people working for the program? So actually fewer than one per $1 billion of of organic food out there?
Yeah, and to consider that there is regulation that is with the kind of vigor that we would expect, it almost feels like we're back in the jungle days when the workers were falling into the sausage machines.
You know, I noticed that the parallel, too, because there's a point in the book when you talk about the things that can be adulterating the product, and yet they still meet the guidelines for being labeled organic, which reminded me of reading things in The Jungle and some other books about meat packing and food processing that indicated you can have certain amounts of rodent hairs and things in food products, which I believe remain in the standards to this day.
And what exists in the National Organic Program is a list of some 200 substances that are not organic and supposedly have been deemed by industry and government to be okay, to be neutral in some way, so that when you buy something that says it is organic, in fact, it's got to be 95% organic, and that other 5% is something else. You can learn what it is by going to the USDA National Organic Program website and read what these various substances are. What is difficult, and again, as you said at the beginning, this is no trashing of organic. I eat this stuff. My family eats this stuff. I believe in it. I just don't understand how it is that we got to this place with the regulation that we are supposed to believe this, and it has so many looming question marks in it.
Peter Lawfer, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, longtime journalist. His book is Organic, A Journalist's Quest to Discover the Truth Behind Food Labeling. This goes beyond just the walnuts. There's another product you had in here, too, beans from Bolivia. And I have to admit, I checked my own pantry last night and found the same brand and found beans and finally followed that little USDA organic label and the thing that said you can see the country of origin on top. Mine are USA. What did yours say?
Mine said product of Bolivia. And Jeffrey, I've spent some time in Bolivia as a reporter following cocaine from the coca leaf of a mom-and-pop coca farm in the jungle of Bolivia and back to the streets of East Oakland during the crack epidemic in California. So I was aware of the level of corruption that exists in Bolivia and the same kind of skepticism that I felt when I saw product of Kazakhstan on the walnuts followed me to these black beans from Bolivia.
And all right, so I want to establish a couple things here, though, because you mentioned the USDA organic program, and it says right on the label, and it's a Natural Directions organic is what you had in your book, and happened to find one in my own pantry, too. It's got the USDA organic label. I see other labels, though, that say organic and don't say USDA, which I think is part of the issue here, isn't it, is that there are multiple labelings of organic?
If it is sold in this country and it says organic on it, then it has to meet the USDA organic standards. It can exceed, or it can be perceived to exceed the USDA organic standards, and a company can choose not to put the USDA organic label on it, but it still has to meet the USDA standards. So Eden is a company that's an example that believes that the standards set by the government are not high enough, and so they don't add the USDA label to their products.
All right. And let me take a call here. We have Carter and Wolf Creek on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking to Peter Lawfer about his book, Organic.
Yes. The first thing I want to say is I've had troubles with Trader Joe's almonds being fresh, and I note that the quality is usually lower than expected, but once in a while the sweet almond does come in a whole unroasted raw almonds do come in the package, but most often it's not fresh. The question I have for the the professor is I have been reassured many times, and I've asked many times in different stores, Trader Joe's, that any food in there, any label in there is non-GMO, and I want to listen to your guest discuss that.
All right. Thanks for that, Carter. Appreciate it.
Yeah, Jeffrey, my investigation here was organic, and GMO is another job, and somebody needs to do that, too, in terms of the veracity of the label when it says it's not GMO. It's a matter of trust, though. And who is it that we want to trust? It certainly feels good to go to a farmer's market and talk to a farmer and talk to the farmer about how she or he goes about farming and growing, cultivating, bringing that food to us. We don't always have that luxury. So are we going to trust the labels? And that's one of the reasons why I certainly am going to vote for the ballot initiative, that we have to say whether or not a product has GMO in it in Oregon. I don't understand, whether it's GMO or organic, how anybody would not want to know everything they possibly could and mandate that we know everything we possibly can about that which we're buying when there is government supervision anyway. And the problem that I address in the book is over the veracity of the organic label and whether there is enough rigor in the inspection system and in the rules governing it to give us confidence.
Again, Peter Lawfer, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. His book is Organic, A Journalist's Quest to Discover the Truth Behind Food Labeling. Peter went far and wide to find out things about the food that he was eating, or in one case, not eating because it didn't taste very good. Took it back to Trader Joe's and discovered his walnuts had come from Kazakhstan, which is one of the more corrupt countries in the world. It goes on from there. We'll talk more about it. You can join us at 800-838-3760 anywhere in the listening area. Do you buy organic? Do you trust the labels? Do you have any questions? If you do, join us on the exchange. Our Rogue Valley number, 541-552-6782. Our email address, jx@jeffnet.org. One of the sources in your book in Costa Rica framed the question in an interesting way. He talked about maybe flipping things around. Instead of putting a label on that says organic, why not label the bad stuff?
Yeah, or why not label both? Why not say this is organic and it meets these standards and this is not, and this is what was sprayed on it. This is what happened en route to your table, to that which is not organic. It does seem a bit of an Alice in Wonderland world where there in Oregon, I'm down in California now, but in Oregon, we are faced with having to go to the ballot box to try to force the GMO labeling, and there isn't labeling on what is being put on the stuff that we don't know about. If we're buying so-called conventional, Jeffrey, what is it that's on there? And I thought that really quite rang true. That was a coffee grower in Costa Rica who has decided not to continue with the expensive for him requirements of labeling his product organic and just expecting that word of mouth from his customers would suffice. And over the years now, he says it has. He has no problem maintaining his customer base in the U.S. It's all mail order, and they know how he grows his coffee and how he processes it. Many of them come down to his finca down there in Costa Rica to check it out for themselves, and he just bypasses the whole system. And I know that there are a lot of Oregon growers who do the same sort of thing.
Let's take another call. Here's CJ in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking to Peter Lawfer about his book, Organic. CJ, go ahead, please. Going once, going twice. CJ's gone. Folks, there you are. CJ, you there?
Yes, I am. I'm sorry. I was listening to the radio. I got a little off. I wanted to say that a few months ago, I bought some dog chews at Trader Joe's. They were, I was under the impression they were made in the States but they were packaged in the U.S. and it had the Monrovia address. And I found that out because my dogs were poisoned by them. And I mean to the tune of $700 in vet bills.
Ouch.
And I called them, and a fellow got back in touch with me, a very gracious man, and they paid my vet bills with no, I didn't have to sign anything. I didn't even have to send in my bills. I was shocked at how readily they paid them.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, heads up to people out there. I know that this indeed happened because I have three dogs, one with no teeth that didn't get the chew, and she was just fine.
So let me understand. I mean, I know these are dog products, but were they labeled organic too?
You know, they weren't labeled organic, but I was under the impression that they were made in the States, and so it's not the organic issue with the dog chews, true enough, but, you know, just... I'm just throwing in a heads up, and I guess this is a bit of a shot at Trader Joe's for not coming forth, because I'm pretty sure I asked him and he said no, they probably did, were not manufactured in the U.S.
Really? Okay, thanks for that, CJ. Appreciate it. Peter Lauffer is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. His book is Organic, A Journalist's Quest to Discover the Truth Behind Food Labeling. It seems like you got different results dealing with Trader Joe's in the store and then dealing with Trader Joe's as a corporation, Peter.
Yeah, no question. Everybody's gracious in the store. And this book is not about Trader Joe's. Trader Joe's is just one of two stores in Eugene where I started this process of tracking back the two products, the walnuts and the beans that you found in your pantry also. And it happens that Trader Joe's was just extraordinarily uncooperative to the point of ludicrousness at the corporate level. I do want to mention one thing, if I may, Jeffrey, regarding what CJ said, and this is another example of some of the problems that we have with labeling, not just with dog food products, but with plenty of the products you and I eat. If you look at the label carefully, even that which says USDA organic, it's not uncommon for it to say sourced in, and then there being two or three different countries. My wife brought home a bag of frozen berries, and they're labeled organic, and it says product of Serbia and Argentina, and then it is, as was the case with CJ, put together in this country. Now, if you wanted to do what I did, because you were interested in knowing where those berries came from, the very fact that they're commingled makes it so it's impossible for you to know where the berries came from. Did they come from Argentina? Did they come from Serbia? And what the heck is an Oregon retailer doing selling berries from Serbia and Argentina when we are the ultimate source of the best berries I've ever eaten anywhere? So this all goes even beyond labeling, Jeffrey, to the question of why are we bringing food from halfway around the world to particularly a place like Oregon where we have so much stuff that is so good?
Well, and the labeling obviously refers to several steps in the process that need to be considered as well. We'll get to that in a moment. I want to take a call from Mark in Redding. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about organic food with Peter Lauffer.
Yes, good morning. I have a bit of difficulty with using the word organic because any chemist can tell you that anything that contains carbon is organic. Therefore, coal is organic, oil is organic, and I'm not about to eat either one of them, even though I'm forced to breathe dust from them at times.
Yeah, fair enough.
But at any rate, my brother grows organically in Connecticut, and it costs him a lot of money to do that, so, you know, to get the certification. But you know, what I think it was the Rodale people that said that it shouldn't be organic, it should be organically grown. That would make more sense to me as well.
All right, organically grown. And that brings us back to the point, thank you for that, Mark, that that Peter, just because they're grown organically, there are other steps in the process where food could become adulterated.
Sure. There is particularly a problem when an outfit is dealing with so-called conventional and so-called organic, and the opportunity exists for the products to co-mingle. And in regarding the terms, we see language change. And one of the things I do show in the book is how organic was defined in a dictionary I have that's about 30 years old, and it's, as your caller suggested, defined specifically regarding what it means in terms of chemistry and what it means now, and it has taken on the terminology of lifestyle.
And so who actually does the inspections that result in organic labeling, and how often are they redone, or are there ever surprises? You know, hello, we're here to inspect you today.
Yeah. So that's another one of the problems that came clear to me during this investigation, Jeffrey. And that is, there is a de facto conflict of interest potential here, because the purveyors, such as the caller's brother, pay for the inspectors. The inspectors are commercial and in competition with each other. And we can talk about that as we
do. Right. All right. Back after a break. We'll talk more with Peter Lawfer, the journalist, about his book, Organic, A Journalist's Quest to Discover the Truth Behind Food Labeling. Back on the Jefferson Exchange with Peter Lawfer and your phone calls and emails in a minute 10. Final segment on today's Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. We're talking to the journalist Peter Lawfer. He's a professor at the University of Oregon School of Journalism, a veteran of NBC News, CBS News, host of a radio show, and a very productive and prolific author of books. His latest is Organic, A Journalist's Quest to Discover the Truth Behind Food Labeling. It began with walnuts that didn't taste very good and a can of beans, one from Kazakhstan, the other from Bolivia, not countries really known for rigorous food safety programs. And it got to wondering about what exactly that organic label means. Join our discussion on the Exchange. Share your own experiences. Have you had some organic food that made you wonder about exactly where it came from? 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, by email jx@jeffnet.org. And so, Peter, we were talking about an inherent conflict of interest in the sense that the people who want the organic labels are paying for that privilege.
Yeah, or a potential conflict of interest, at least, Jeffrey. So there are competitive certification companies, for-profit companies, that solicit the business. They are, in effect, licensed by the USDA to do these inspections, and they are paid by those they inspect, whether it be a farm or a processor. Now, that's not to condemn them. There are undoubtedly all sorts of places that are doing this and doing a terrific job. And right in our midst is one of the granddaddies of them all, Oregon Tilth, and all indicators are that they do a fine job. But the very fact that it is a competitive environment and that you are paying to be inspected and to be approved throws up, again, all sorts of questions. Compare that, if you will, with a couple of other systems I found during my investigation for the book, one of them in Denmark, where the government is assigned the task of doing the inspections. And if you trust the government, as apparently they do in Denmark, and Denmark is has some of the highest per capita in the world of so-called organic consumption, then there isn't that conflict of interest where there's private business buying for the trade. Another example that maybe is something we ought to consider in this country is in Austria, where organic farmers receive a substantive subsidy from the government because there is a belief in the society there that organic is better and Austrian is better. But if they fail the inspection, and the inspections are done on a two-tiered basis, both private and government in Austria, if they fail the inspection, then they must pay back that cash subsidy. Now, that seems like it's an incredible incentive to make sure that you're doing everything according to the books.
Well, it should come as no big surprise that any business in the United States is regulated this way, because it brings to mind the regime for getting new drugs to market. Drug trials are not done by the FDA. They're done by the drug companies and reported to the FDA.
And that's the nature of our society, and we are oriented toward the private sector in that manner, but I'm not convinced that it's serving us all that well in the organic food department.
Let's take a call. We have Brandon and Ashland on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking to Peter Lawfer about his book, Organic. Brandon,
Hello.
Go ahead.
Oh, hey. I just wanted to say, it's an interesting discussion. I've been an organic farmer for over 20 years down in the Watsonville and Salinas Valley. I used to grow for Trader Joe's for a number of years and have recently moved up to this area to start yet another organic farm. A couple comments. One, I think it's important to recognize that the label organic is voluntary. It's more of a trade organization than a true quality assurance or government certification. Farmers voluntarily choose who their third-party certifier is going to be. And, you know, I don't want to say I've grown cynical over the years, but I've watched my neighbors and fellow farmers. The bottom line is under the current system, if you want to cheat, you can cheat. I guess it's kind of like paying your taxes. If you're committed to cheating, you're probably going to get away with it. I don't know if that makes people feel better, but I think as a grower, I think it's silly for people to think that a third party can verify the quality of your food if you remain determined to not, well, one, to shop solely on price, and two, be pretty determined to not know who grows your food and where it comes from.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the ultimate certification or assurance is knowing who grows your food and demanding that food is coming from a local source.
Know your farmer. Okay. Thanks for that, Brandon. Appreciate the insight there. But, you know, there was a section of the book here, Peter, where you pointed out in Vienna, it's not really the kind of thing you can do in an urban area to get to know your farmer.
Sure. I mean, we're so lucky in Eugene and Ashland and other places in your listening area where you can meet Brendan and get to know him and feel some sense of trust for the farmer who's growing your food. But if you're, for example, I'm down here in California, just outside of San Francisco, you're not going to be able to live in a neighborhood of 5 or 7 million people and necessarily have that luxury. And so that's why we have regulations, and that's why we are supposed to set something up that we can trust. But when you have a $28 billion industry and you don't even have one inspector per $1 billion, Brendan's correct. The cheats are out there, and we should recognize that and consider that this should get more attention, and at least, I'm sorry, adopt some of the cynical behavior of those of us who are journalists and not just rush into our Walmarts and our Costcos and say, oh, look at this, it's organic and it's not expensive and I'm eating better.
Let's take another call. Here's Paul in Talent. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Peter Lawford. His book is Organic.
Yes, Mr. Lawford. My rudimentary knowledge of evolutionary biology tells me that adaptation is local and can be micro-local. So it seems to me that if we were going to really carry this organic labeling to its full effect, we would need a toxicology report on every food producer that comes to market. You know, telling us what the levels of nitrates and aluminum, et cetera, is in their particular plot. Without that knowledge, I have no guarantee that they're not producing unhealthy foods grown in unhealthy soil, even though they might appear in the same county, for instance.
All right.
Can you address that?
Thanks for that,
yeah,
Paul.
Yeah, sure. If you'd like, Jeffrey, of course we can take these things to the extreme, but it's a different story. If something is in my, for example, Trader Joe's in Eugene, and I'm grabbing it off the shelf with the comfort that I had come to feel and don't feel any longer regarding the products I'm getting from Trader Joe's, and then realize that it's from Kazakhstan. There's a big difference in the likelihood of an Oregon or a California farmer doing something dastardly and selling it otherwise than there is with something coming out of a place like Kazakhstan that is world famous for its corruption. What is Trader Joe's doing? Selling the stuff with that on the label, and then it's only a question that's exacerbated after finding out through the USDA investigation that, in fact, even that label isn't correct.
Let's take another email here from Scott in Ashland. He says, I'm not an obsessive purchaser of organic foods, but fairly recently there have been lists published contending that certain non-organic fruits and vegetables have high levels of pesticide residues, which are absent from organic fruits and vegetables of the same varieties. While for other fruits and vegetables, there is much less benefit to going with organics. Do you have any information or opinion on that realm of things?
Well, supposedly the level of poisons that exist as residue on conventional, so-called conventional produce is not dangerous. It's supposed to be safe. It's a matter of what we expect. There undoubtedly are times when a mistake is made and something gets past some inspection and it's got too much of whatever is on it that you don't want to eat. The same thing could happen in something labeled organic because those inspections occur a couple of times a year. So we have to, on some level, if we're not growing it in our own backyard, trust our purveyors. And I'm much more likely to trust your caller, Brendan, than to trust the Trader Joe's of the world.
So in the example that got the whole process started, the walnuts that just tasted rancid, you took them back to Trader Joe's. Where are they from? Oh, they're from Kazakhstan. They actually were not organic. What happens then? Has that pipeline been shut off, or could somebody potentially go to any one of a number of grocery stores today, buy a bag of organic walnuts, and get them from Kazakhstan and have them not be organic?
Well, I imagine after all this publicity, Jeffrey, that pipeline, wherever it did come from, has been shut down by Trader Joe's. But there still are unanswered questions that I'm waiting to hear post-press time for the book from the USDA. What did the USDA do? Was there any punitive action against Trader Joe's? Was there any punitive action against Quality Assurance International, QAI? That's the big Q that you see on many of the products labeled organic in stores. Quality Assurance International has about 60% of the certification dollar in the United States. So just because we found out that these, in fact, were not organic from Kazakhstan, isn't the end of the story. There also is a good side to this story that we should mention, Jeffrey, and that is that those beans that said product of Bolivia, I traced back again initially with no help from Natural Directions, but eventually found the processor in Santa Cruz, Bolivia, and then went from the processor out into the Chaco, which is this region where Paraguay, Brazil, and Bolivia come together, and out in what for me was the middle of nowhere, 7 hours on a dirt road, I found the farms, and I'm quite convinced I found the farms from where those beans came, and met with the farmers, and I'm pretty sure that those beans are, in fact, organic. So that was a good news story and a great adventure.
You know, there's a section of the book where you write about a graduate assistant who went to quiz shoppers about buying organic, and some of the responses were really colorful and interesting. It ultimately got down, from my perspective, to people aren't entirely sure what that means. They're kind of taking it on face value, which, as you point out, can be a little tricky or dangerous, potentially. But, I mean, really, when you're buying something that is labeled organic, what does that tell you? Does it tell you it's no pesticides? Does it tell you it's less pesticides? I mean, you point out, too, that there was a time when organic just used to mean ugly. You know, it was the shriveled, wrinkled fruit that was better for you. But that's not necessarily the case anymore, either.
No, organic doesn't mean that there are no pesticides, no herbicides. It means that those which are on it are approved and considered not to be, what would the terminology you want to use, artificial, chemical, manufactured, that they come from natural sources. There also are some that can be put on it under certain circumstances. If there's a specific kind of a blight or other problem with the produce that's being grown. And then there is that 5% of a product that can be labeled USDA organic and come from one of these 200-some substances. Some of these 200-some substances can be in it that are considered approved by the USDA. And then there also is that which says made with organic. And a good example of that, Jeffrey, is corn chips. So often corn chips will say made with organic corn. That does not mean that that's a 100% or even 95% organic product. Often the oil that the corn chips are cooked in is not organic because it's so expensive to change that bath. And as long as 70% of a product that says made with organic something has 70%, as long as 70% of it is so-called organic, then that label can say made with organic corn, even though the whole bag of stuff doesn't meet standards.
Ultimately, Peter, in the course of your quest, were you surprised by how difficult it was to obtain information about the stuff that you bought?
I was surprised and disgusted, Jeffrey. I think that, that's so much of the story to me, is that here is this enormous industry that's growing double digits every year, that so many of us are seduced by, and the industry, along with its government overseers, is saying, trust us and just keep walking and just keep buying. But trust us. It's okay. Me, I want to trust guys like your caller, Brendan, who's got a farm somewhere in the neighborhood. And even if I don't go out there, I know it's out there and I can go see it and I can shake his hand and see some of the dirt under his fingernails.
In quest of the truth about walnuts and beans and much more. The book is called Organic, A Journalist's Quest to Discover the Truth Behind Food Labeling. Peter Lawfer, thanks so much for joining us once again on the Jefferson Exchange.
It's always such a pleasure to talk with you and your audience, Jeffrey. Thank you.
Take care, Peter.